This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Could have painted it half black. It could have been black and gold and been named like Drew Brees or something.
You're weird.
I'm not weird. How am I weird?
And Chad P.
I saved this guitar from a burning building. My sister was in the bathroom, but I had to get my guitar.
Sorry, dear.
Class is in.
Rock School for a wonderful afternoon. My name is Joe Burns.
My name is Chad P.
And we are welcoming to the Rock School Radio Network a brand new affiliate in Burlington, Wisconsin, 89.1 WBSD. Welcome to the Rock School Radio Network. Enjoy your cheese.
Yes, and stand by. We're going to send you via email attachment on an MP3, the Rock School Handshake.
Oh, yeah. You should see it. It's
nasty.
Yeah, you have to be in flip-flops. And I don't know why. Let me tell you what we're going to do for our first show on WBSD, and of course for the rest of you, our 120th show, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a while. We're old hacks. We're professionals. Les Paul died August 13th at the age of 94. Mm-hmm. Said he died of pneumonia, but at 94, you died from living 94
from standing
years.
Up.
Yeah, good. God bless you. 94? I'll take 94. We had a show created. It wasn't supposed to run till October, but we decided to move it up. Now, this isn't going to be a tribute to Les Paul, but a little later on in the show, we will play a Les Paul song, and we'll talk a little bit about him. Here's the concept of today's show. Many rock stars have guitars that they have named.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them, they have a guitar, and you can say, that's
Yeah.
And the guitar has an actual name. Not that it's a Fender or a Gibson or a Rickenbacker or what have you. The guitar has a name.
Yeah, the one that comes to my mind is Eddie Van Halen's
Frankenstrat.
Frankenstrat.
Why don't we start with that one?
Okay.
Good
no
enough.
Problem.
So we'll get Frankenstrat set up, ready to go. You have him ready? As a matter of fact,
yes.
You do.
Yes.
We begin with a guitar that was built, it's basically called a mongrel. When a guitar is put together out of parts that you find here and there, call it a mongrel. The body was purchased for $50. It's a body made out of ash. It looks like a Stratocaster, but it's not from Fender. He then bought a rock maple neck for $80, bringing the grand total instrument cost up to $130.
Oh, wow.
And then he painted the thing with Schwinn bicycle paint. Of course, it had single coil pickups. He didn't like the sound of that. So he routed out the back part and he put in a double coil Gibson humbucking pickup.
What? Oh, okay.
And in one fell swoop, Eddie Van Halen created the look of rock and roll guitars for the remainder of the 1980s and into the 1990s. Stratocaster, single pickup. If you look at the Stratocaster, the Frankenstrat, it basically looks like the rock and roll guitars you see all the way through the 1980s, nothing works except the one pickup. The other pickups aren't even hooked up. He himself will tell you, he sat there with a soldering iron and just kept touching wires and strumming the strings till it went brong. That's it. And he soldered it down. And that's what he used through the first three albums until he started working with Kramer and he created an equal to it and then working with PV and other groupings and such. But for the first three albums, you can be assured if there's a whammy bar, a vibrato bar in it, it's the Frankenstrat.
Mm.
And here is, well, a little bit of it at least. Ladies and gentlemen, my favorite, Van Halen, Rock School. that's a Frankenstrat here
on
Rock School.
Here we go. Another adjective show for the many engineers known as electric guitar players.
Oh, I don't know. That won't be that bad. We talked about Les Paul, and a lot of people would think that only the Frankenstrat got played by Eddie Van Halen. He actually played Les Pauls. If you listen to a lot of the early stuff on Van Halen 1 and Van Halen 2, if there's no vibrato bar involved, say You Really Got Me or Jamie's Crying, that's a Les Paul.
Okay.
He's playing a Les Paul. And later on, he played Gibson Explorers. In fact, you see it on the front of the For Women and Children First LP.
What do you play? What do you like to play?
What do I play? My favorite guitar right now is I have a Yamaha SBG 200.
What do you mean right now?
Well, it switches around.
Oh.
I also have a Morris Cherry Sunburst that I like to play.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite. And I've never named them. I just, you know, the brown one.
The brown one.
The brown one, the red one, the white one. You know. By the way, some other guitarists that have named their guitars. Joe Satriani had Chrome Boy. And
Chrome
I said
Boy.
Hat. Yeah, he got a contract with Ibanez, and one of the things he liked was extremely bright, flashy guitars, so when he was on stage under the lights, the light would hit it, and boom, it would shoot it back
shiny.
To the audience.
He right. liked shiny.
He had this thing tricked out in straight chrome.
Wow.
So he could go up to the lights and move it around, and it would, like chrome on a car, throw it out there.
And it would blind you, and you'd be
exactly.
like, I can't see, but it sounds great.
I said had because the original Chrome Boy was stolen in 2002 and has never
well,
been
yeah,
recovered.
People steal chrome valve stem caps. I mean, what do you think they're going to do with a whole chrome guitar?
Hook it. This is the one we're going to play. Albert King and his favorite guitar, Lucy. Lucy was a 58 Flying V, but here's what's wonderful about Albert King. If you've ever tried to play him, it's one of those where I can't sound like him. I can't seem to, you know, get myself to sound like him. Here's why. It's not that he plays any different than anybody else. Albert King is a lefty. He plays with his left hand. However, unlike Jimi Hendrix, who was also a lefty, Hendrix strung his guitar backwards. So when he turned it over, the bass string was still towards his chin.
Oh.
King flipped the guitar over, and the strings stayed inverted.
So he plays with the small strings at the top.
That's right.
And the fat strings at the bottom.
So when he stretches, it would be like a guitarist pushing the strings instead of pulling.
Oh.
So when you play, your string bends won't sound the same. So when you see Albert King playing that beautiful 1958 Flying V, call it Lucy, and the sky is crying just for Albert. Rock School.
The sky is crying. Look at the tears roll down the street. The sky is crying. The sky.
Hey, nice
kings.
Stuff.
One of the kings. And
so
Lucy.
It's really upside down.
Yeah, to him it's upside down. It's how you play. The guy from Air Supply plays, I know, on Rock School. Why are you talking about Air Supply? He's just the guy in Air Supply was the first one I ever saw do it. And
okay.
It's real interesting to watch him play. He plays a lot of chords. You see guys play what are known as bar chords, where you take your first finger and you go all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is he lifts his finger.
Mm-hmm.
So the two top strings, the two, what'd you call it, highest strings, the E and the B for real guitars,
they
ring open and it makes different sounding chords. It's nice.
Here's some quick Rock School education for all you new listeners over in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Doc is a guitarist.
Can you
tell? If you haven't picked up on it by now, Doc's a guitarist and I play drums.
Round drums.
Round drums.
Here's another one you might like. Neil Young has a black Les Paul, 1953 Les Paul. He calls Old Black.
Oh, good Lord. Get creative.
Well, it's nice. It's a nice guitar.
Old Black.
Every time you hear a very rough, chunky sound from him, it's Old Black being played. He bought it from Jim Messina, as in Loggins and Messina. They had the big hit, Your Mama Don't Dance, Your Daddy Don't Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
It started life as a gold top. Those are the ones that we talked about Les Paul earlier. Les Paul made his name promoting Les Paul gold tops.
Uh-huh.
And it's only black because an amateur paint job was done on it. And
so wait,
it's
it used
one
to be gold and then they painted it black?
Right.
So if they could have painted it half black, it could have been black and gold and been named like Drew Brees or something.
You're weird.
I'm not weird. How am I weird?
That was done back in the 1960s.
But still.
Steve Vai is our next person. Anytime I get a chance to play Steve Vai, I actually do it. This is going to be from a movie soundtrack of his. The song's going to be called Get the Hell Out of Here. Steve Vai plays Ibanez Gems. And he really is the only true, I guess what you call professional musician that plays them, you're going to find other people that buy them and play them. I'd love to buy one, but they're over $3,000 a pop.
Oh, psh.
Ibanez, yeah, I know.
Chump change.
Yeah, chump change to me. He has Flow and Evo. Well, Flow is really the one you're going to see a lot. Flow is just pure white. Evo has got a nice little paint job on it, but Flow is the one you're going to see. How do you know which is which? Their names are inscribed. When you see him playing live, look down by the bridge. That's where his right hand sits. It'll either say Flow or Evo. You know it's Steve Vai's because it has a monkey grip on it.
What's a monkey grip?
At the top of the guitar, closest to his chest, there's a cutout that has a little, I guess, where your fingers would go.
Like grooves, kind of
right.
Like on a steering wheel,
so
maybe?
So you can grab the body of the guitar. It's called a monkey grip, and it's a signature thing that he does.
Oh.
It's a Gem 7V. It's got a floral paint job, at least Evo does. Flow is straight white, and it is basically the guitar that he designed, had it custom made, point by point, handed it to Ibanez and said, that's exactly the guitar I want. Make that. And Ibanez made it for him, and if you want to buy one and you got $3,000+, you can have one. This is Flo. Get the hell out of here. Steve Vai, Rock School. I'm sorry, there's just too many notes. Cut a few, and it'll be perfect.
You, I have been a Steve Vai fan ever since we did the Merry Axmas special for Christmas. And he,
Christmas time is here.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's the one
Peanuts,
he did.
The Peanuts show. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, if you get a chance, go and grab some Steve Vai. Really, really good. It's a gajillion notes, but there's still melody to it. Now, we got to take a break. We are doing, for those of you who are just joining us, 89.1 WBSW, Burlington, Wisconsin, our brand new affiliate. Thank you very much for joining us. We are doing guitarists who have named their guitar. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one more. Rory Gallagher, he supposedly brought the first Stratocaster to Ireland. And if you've ever seen it, you'll know why it has the name. He played it so much, so often, that he literally rubbed the entire tobacco sunburst, that's a brown and yellow finish, rubbed the entire finish off of it. It was almost down to the bare wood, except little chips that kind of succeeded in staying on the whole way around.
And what did he call it?
X-Sunburst. Go get me the X Sunburst. So when we get back, we're going to do one from a band that I hated for the longest time.
But
yeah, and now I've come to love them.
That's right.
I think they're absolutely wonderful. Get us on iTunes as well. Those of you on up in Burlington, Wisconsin, if you like the show and you want to hear more of them, you can get us on iTunes. Simply open up your iTunes computorial device and search Rock School in the podcast, and you will find us. They are all there. Back in 1 minute. Rock School.
Class is in session. Rock School. We're getting educated today on guitarists that have named their guitar. You know, I had my first drum set ever was a black five-piece Ludwig set. You know what I called it?
Drums?
Yes. Exactly.
Well, you know, some people are more creative. Some people are more creative. Bob Marley was known for his beautiful Les Paul, and he had a 1979 Les Paul that he absolutely loved, and it was distinguished because most Les Pauls, some people take them out. I say most. Some Les Pauls had a little switch. They have two pickups. Most Les Pauls do. Some Les Pauls have three pickups, but the standard Les Paul has two. One pickup up by the neck, one pickup down by the bridge. The Les Paul that Bob Marley had the little switch that would switch you between those two pickups, again, up at the top of the guitar. Mm-hmm. But what really set his aside is he had this football-shaped, you know, pickup switch. It was huge up at the top that he would click back and forth. And everybody knew the look of this instrument, and he absolutely loved it, and he referred to it as Old Faithful. And it was
okay,
buried
now, see,
with
that,
him.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, you know, these guitarists that, well, you guys are so... Again, I'll say many engineers.
Yeah.
You pull the back of the guitar out, you pull some type of aluminum copper wiring out, and then you replace it with something, and you go into all these details, and then I put the finish back on, and my daughter was finger painting at the time. She was painting a nice little pretty pink picture, and she came and she smeared pink paint all over my guitar, so I called it Pinky.
Yeah.
Get creative!
Well, how about one called Blue?
Is it Blue?
Billy Joe Armstrong's is Blue, as a matter of fact.
What song?
Well, we're going to play Basket Case.
Well, that guitar's not blue.
Well, it's called Blue.
Okay.
It's a Fernandez Strat copy, and he got it when he was 10 years old, nicknamed it Blue. It belonged to his guitar teacher, whose name was George Cole. Apparently, Billy Joe lost his father
when he was young.
And this guitar teacher, George Cole, really took on a paternal role and really was a driving force in getting him to be a professional musician.
I got a quick stump for you on that subject. His father did die. Do you know what month?
I do not know.
September.
That's
Wake
the song.
Me up when September ends. It was written about his dad.
So we're going to play a song in which Blue is featured in the video, but also, according to what I read here, Green Day, the Green Day frontman, also has about 20 Les Paul Juniors. He has a 56 model that he's quite favorite of, and he calls that one Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is called Blue. You can't miss the guitar. It's beat to heck, and it's his favorite guitar.
Yeah, it matches the album cover art from that album, the Dookie album.
This is Basket Case on Rock School.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just
LP. I became a fan of those guys from this album when I was 14 years old. Of course, that's when they were known. We're punk.
Yeah,
we
spit. Like,
we curse. We color our hair. We play really, really fast.
Yeah, I didn't like them at that point in time because it bothered me because I'm such a fan of the Ramones and I'm such a fan of punk, the punk that came out of CBGB's. And when I saw that, they looked like posers to me, and it drove me up a tree when it came out. It wasn't until, you know, American Idiot that I felt they grew up, and I thought, you know, wow, now they're really in their element.
You know, we were talking off mic. That is a band that you can truthfully say that if you followed them throughout their career, it's almost like watching a child grow up from the time that they released Kerplunk way back when. You know, that's like when they were really small children, and then Dookie, you could say that was their teenage years, and up until American Idiot, where they're full blown adults and they've matured and come full circle.
Yeah, you're right. Matured is the correct word. It really is. Now, those of you at WBSD out in Burlington, Wisconsin, we do something at the bottom of each hour where we recap the week that was back in music. We call it 7 days in 70 seconds. This is going to be the week of August 17th through August 23rd, Monday through Sunday. We trade off. Chad has Monday of that week. Here's how we do it.
All right. August 17th, back in 1960, the Beatles, playing for the first time under that name, began a 3-month run at the Indra Club in Hamburg, Germany.
August 18th, back in 1992, Kurt Cobain of Nirvana and Courtney Love of Hole become parents to daughter Frances Bean.
On August 19th in 1972, NBC Television premiered The Midnight Special.
Yeah, and they're being sold right now as part of a DVD set. You might see it on those Saturday morning or Sunday morning things while you're waiting for the Saints game or, you know, the Green Bay game.
There you go.
You'll see it promoted, you know, get the DVDs for X amount of payments of what have you. I bought them. They're very, very good. August 20th, 2003, in Rhode Island, the Station Club, the band Great White are fined over $93,000 for violations stemming from the February 20th fire that kills 100 and injures almost 200 people.
Wow. August 21st in 1923 in Kalamazoo, Michigan, an ordinance was passed forbidding dancers from gazing into the eyes of their partners. Now, I mean, seriously, if you can't gaze into the eye of your dancing partner, then what's the point of even getting out on the floor?
Whose eyes can you gaze
exactly
into? Exactly. August 22nd, back in 1970, Derek and the Dominoes start recording Layla and other assorted love songs. And finally, on August 23rd, back in 1970, Lou Reed plays his last show with the Velvet Underground at Max's Kansas City Club in New York. The show is recorded and released as Live at Max's. And that wraps up 7 days in 70 seconds. Here's where we're going to do a real quick tribute to Les Paul, died August 13th, age 94. God bless him, 94. I would take 94. Les Paul, he did not invent the Les Paul guitar. Les Paul, the shape of the instrument, was already created by Gibson. You see, the solid body guitar was already being produced by Fender.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such thing as Les Paul, inventing the electric guitar. The electric guitar had already been out. George Bouchamp, working for Rickenbacker Company, already had created this thing, something called the frying pan. Look it up. It's been done years before. Yeah. And Gibson was already selling hollow body electric guitars. When Fender started to just beat up Gibson, they thought back to this guitarist named, Lester Pulfus, who had come in with this strange log-looking thing and said, I've invented this and I want to sell it as a solid-body electric guitar, and they told him to get lost. They brought him back in, but at this point, Les Paul had already become a famous musician. They said, look, this is the guitar we've come up with, the Les Paul. We will pay you X percent of every one of these things sold if you will attach your name to it. So he was an endorser of the Les Paul. He decided make the whole thing gold. He, Les Paul, decided to make the whole thing gold, and the Les Paul Gold Top was invented, coming out, I believe, 1951 is when they first started to come out. We're going to play a song back from 1951. This is Les Paul and Mary Ford. If it sounds like there's a lot of Mary Fords in there, there are. There are 12 of them, to be exact. Guess who invented multi-tracking?
Huh?
Les Paul. Guess who invented studio reverb? Les Paul.
Wow.
I heard it on TV. A guy said, Les Paul invented reverb. You can't invent reverb. Reverb happens. Go in a big room and talk. There's reverb.
You discover it.
Right. He invented studio reverb. So as a real quick tip of the hat, the Les Paul being played by Les Paul, How High the Moon. What do we care about this song specifically? It is believed by a lot of guitarists, including me, this is the first rock guitar solo ever put together. Les Paul, Rock School.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, high, high the moon. There is no moon above.
Beautiful. And it's hard to get that sound anymore. You have to buy a specific kind of pickup. Those were not humbucking pickups. Those were overwound P90 pickups that were on that early guitar of his, using Alenco post magnets in there. So if you want to sound just like Les Paul, you have to get the right kind of pickups in there. This is Rock School, and we are doing a show on guitarists who named their instruments. Let me give you one before the one we're going to play. Familiar with Willie Nelson?
Yes.
Yeah, come on, who isn't? In 1969, sight unseen, he paid $750 for a Martin N20. Why? Why would you spend the Martin. Martin acoustic guitars were the gold standard.
That's
still
the name,
are.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, still are very, very good. But if you can get a very close to post-World War II Martin, grab it, hold on to it, hug it, love it. Don't let anyone, don't breathe on it. No, don't play it, don't touch it. They're just gorgeous instrument. He has played it so much when you see him live, where the pick hits the body underneath the strings, there's a hole. He's worn a hole in it. That's the famous guitar of his. He's named it Trigger.
Okay, yeah, I'll go for that. All right, good. Thank
now,
you.
Maybe
some creativity for once.
There you go. Now, maybe the one that everybody thought of when you said a show about people who've named their guitars, B.B. King's, can you do it?
No.
Lucille.
Okay.
B.B. King's Lucille. In the 1950s, B.B. King was playing at this dance hall in Arkansas. Two guys broke out into a fight. They knocked over a barrel of kerosene, and it caught on fire. B.B. King runs out of the place, realizes, I don't have my guitar. Runs back in, gets his guitar, gets out just as the roof falls in. Right. He finds out later the two guys were fighting over a woman by the name of
Lucille.
Lucille.
Very good. And I give him creative trophy for the day.
There you go. And he names his guitar Lucille to, quote, remind himself not to do something so stupid again. Here's Rock Me Baby, B.B. King, Rock School. Black Gibson ES-330, I believe ES-335.
It's a cool story, too.
You know,
you probably go back and say, I saved this guitar from a burning building.
My sister was in the bathroom, but I had to get my guitar.
Sorry, dear. My apologies. Eric Clapton had a few guitars. He had one called Brownie. He had one called Blackie. Both of those have been sold at auction.
Mm-hmm, for like a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. One of them went for close to $500,000. George Harrison also had Lucy. If you remember earlier in the show, we played Albert King. He had one called Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
George Harrison's Lucy was a 1968 Les Paul. If you'd like to hear it, listen to While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Of course, it's not Harrison playing it. It was Eric Clapton. Got to play one more before we do the break. Macabre.
What?
Macabre.
Is that the guitar or the
yes.
person?
No, it's the guitar. Oh. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones has Macabre.
Macabre.
Named after a character in Charles Dickens' book, David Copperfield. It's been his main guitar since Exile on Main Street. It's a 1952 Butterscotch Fender Telecaster. You're going to hear it on Brown Sugar, Honky Tonk Women, anything that's got that sort of knife edge popping sound that's more country than rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know mm-hmm. it's Macabre. But what's interesting about it is it's only got 5 strings on it. What he likes to do with this guitar is take the bottom string off, just the bottom E string, the bass string,
yeah.
pull it off.
Okay.
And then the remainder of the guitar, he tunes to a G.
Oh.
Now, a lot of slide guitarists do this. These are called open tunings.
Mm-hmm.
You tune the guitar to a chord, so when you don't touch it and you just strum it, a chord plays. That allows
see, that's
you...
that's what I need.
Yeah, that with a Dolly Parton used to do that as well. She
okay.
had such long fingernails.
Uh-huh.
That allowed her to just use one flat finger and
mm-hmm.
then play chords.
Mm-hmm.
What slide guitarists do is they use that to be able to slide and then play chords with the slide and play leads inside of the chords.
Okay.
He does it and then uses his left hand to finger chords inside of that.
Oh.
Keeps it to an open G, and when he screams Macabre, everybody knows what he's talking about. Before They Make Me Run, Stones, Rock School.
I'm sitting here just trying to get into this world known as the mind of an electric guitarist.
Good luck.
I got to tell you.
It's a scary place with files and large cabinets.
I got to tell you, as creative as you guys can get on maximizing the amount of amplification of your guitar and making it talk to where it sounds like the teacher on Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
When it comes to naming stuff, you guys just got nothing.
Well, I don't
I
know.
I kept Some it up against the wall instead of putting it in a case, so I called it Wally.
You know, I knew guys that named their guitar. One guy I knew named his guitar Cat.
Okay.
With a K.
Nothing wrong with that.
And the reason was because it had a sticker of a cat on it.
See? Okay. Now, I have a problem with that.
Why?
Well,
because you're supposed to be more creative than that.
You haven't named one drum.
No, we don't name drum. We're not weird like that.
When we come back, we're going to play a song from Stevie Ray Vaughan off of Texas Flood. You can probably pick it up right off of that. It was a present from his lovely wife, Lenora. Any idea what Lenora's nickname was?
I know what it is.
We will be back in 1 minute. Rock School.
The only point I'm trying to make is that you guys get so creative. I'll say it again. Electric guitarists are like little mini engineers.
Sure,
you
I've
guys,
torn mine apart to the point
right,
where I've
right.
had to take it to Guitar Center and have them put it back together.
Right. You know, I could just picture one of you electric guitarists staying up till midnight in the middle of a lightning storm. And I have somehow managed to install a flux capacitor pickup in my guitar. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And then you don't get creative with the name. I'll put you on the spot right here.
Okay.
Name your Yamaha. If you had to name your Yamaha right now, what
okay.
name would you give it?
Denise.
Why?
It's my favorite girl's name. It always has been my favorite. And I don't even know a Denise.
Okay.
I just think Denise is a beautiful, beautiful name. Denise.
See, I will give you that.
Yes.
I will give you that because that is putting at least some type of creative reasoning into it. But, you know, what I'm talking about is these people like, well, I came up with this program on my Dell computer, so I called my guitar Dell.
I think that's fine.
Nah, I don't.
I'm going to name, I'll tell you what, I'm going to name my cherry Les Paul, I got a cherry sunburst Les Paul,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to name it Eddie. How's that? Because I like Eddie Van Halen so much.
All right, I'll give you that.
How about I'll name it Lodgwick. Look. That's Eddie's middle name.
Uh-huh.
Is that even better?
Don't be getting all mad at me.
I'm not just mad at you. I haven't raised my voice. Is that better for you?
All right.
Okay, moving along. Stevie Ray Vaughan has a guitar named Lenny.
Yes.
Lenny is not a man. Lenny is Lenora Vaughan. Lenora is the nickname of Lenny. See, Lenny wanted to buy, actually Stevie Ray Vaughan wanted to buy a 1965 Stratocaster he found in a pawn shop. The problem is it cost $350, which he did not have. Lenora, however, found seven friends who all had $50.
Huh.
And she bought it for him. And he was so moved, he stayed up literally all night. When she awoke, he played the tape back. He had written an instrumental for her, and it was called Lenny. Rock School. All those harmonics to finish it off. Lovely, lovely stuff.
I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. And you can always tell when it's him.
Two reasons. I'll tell you two reasons. Now, somebody's going to say, oh, it's his playing. And you're right. Every guitarist exists from the elbow down. You know, and that's really what makes them that. But two things about Stevie Ray Vaughan. He played with very, very heavy strings. Okay. A lot of guitarists play with what are known as 09 strings, mm-hmm. meaning the top string is just an 09. Mm-hmm. He played with extremely heavy strings. So when he plucked, you got that very hard pop. When he plucked the string.
Yeah.
He only also used vintage amplifiers. So if you're using 09 strings, I use what are known as Slinky Pinks. Slinky's a kind of a string, and then 09s are inside of the pink package. Mm-hmm. I use Slinky Pinks, and I use a digital amplifier.
Cool.
So I can only mimic him.
Right.
It would take a specific kind of guitar, specific kind of pickup, specific kind of heavy string, and a very vintage amplifier to even come close to equaling the man. So you know, that's why you don't get people that sound like him a great deal. So,
that's good. Plus, he shouldn't be duplicated.
Plus, you know, from the elbow down, you know, there's a famous story about Eddie Van Halen was playing opening for Ted Nugent. Well, Van Halen was. And Ted Nugent said, can I play through your system? Fine. And it didn't sound like Van Halen.
Right.
From the elbow down. Let me tell you a few more we didn't get to. Billy Gibbons, he has a 1959 Les Paul called Miss Pearly Gates, makes heavenly music. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot more to the story, but that's generally the concept of
it. See, I like that.
Yeah. Bo Diddley has Big B. That's a guitar. That's the rectangular guitar. He tried to make an electric version of a cigar box guitar. Tom Morello has his Arm the Homeless. It's another mongrel guitar that's put together out of all kinds of bits and parts, but it has a sticker on it called Arm the Homeless, tuned to a standard E. And Yngwie Malmsteen has the Duck. It's his white Stratocaster, which has now faded to a sort of a blonde yellow, and it has a sticker of Donald Duck on it. And if you're listening to any album by Yngwie Malmsteen, $100 says you're listening to the Duck.
His
main recording guitar.
Well, all right.
We will finish up with this one. Oh, there's a couple more here. Bootsy Collins has the Space Bass, and Dick Dale records on The Beast.
The Beast.
We will finish up with Brian May's Red Special. Very quickly, Brian May, when he was a young man, could not afford a guitar. His father, a mechanical engineer, looked around the house, built one. Took the mahogany wood from an old fireplace and literally built it. It's called the Red Special. I haven't anywhere near the time to explain how it was built. Go online. Wikipedia actually does a fairly decent job of explaining it. Look up Brian May's Red Special, and that wraps it up. All the guitarists who have names for their instruments.
Yeah.
I'm Joe Burns.
I'm a drummer.
He's
Chad P.
Stone Cold Crazy finishes us. Queen, class is dismissed.